Hello, beautiful people. It is wonderful to go live with, I always say one of my favorite people, but I only interview and get to speak to my favorite people because the ones that are not my favorites, I either don't get to see them or I never meet them. And I really adore the woman that I'm about to introduce to you. So it is a huge honor that you've made time for us. I know that you're extremely busy. I know that your Monday has been filled with requests and appointments. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Nozi Rambana.
I love that click. Thank you very much. No, that was good. That was good.
I know.
Thank you.
Wait, it gets better. It does. For those of you
Okay.
who don't know Nozi and who's never gotten to hear her podcast, you have to log on and you have to take a listen. It's an easy listen to. It's honest, it's truth, and it's about don't hold back. And I've had the honor to sit in one of your chairs in that beautiful studio. You have an incredible studio. So thank you so much for joining us. She's got a memoir that is out. She's got a book that tells about a whole journey. We'll talk about that now. But then also she's brought out a new book, and Nausea always starts a social media video site. Now let me tell you something, okay? So let me tell you something. We're going to talk about her latest book as well. So, Nozi, thanks for joining us on this live, which we'll share on Jacaranda FM, on Baby Brunch, and also here at Ilana Africa.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited, and it's always a ball when I'm having a conversation with you. And I will never forget. And you know what I'm talking about. I will never
Oh,
forget
dear.
our off camera conversation. But yeah, that's between you and I.
I got you. I
But
got you,
thank you so
girl.
much for having me.
We never talk about your childhood. We always just talk about how you are right now.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, I can't have you for 2 hours. It's going to be the shortest live of our lives.
I
But
know.
just quickly, when I think of my childhood, I think of my mother's illness, of God who's faithful, and I think of my father's involvement in my life and my finances. What about you?
How do I summarize it? Running after my dad's validation and my mom's approval. That summarized literally my whole childhood was surrounded by that, running after my dad's validation and my mom's approval and praise. I think that summarizes it, my childhood in a few words.
But you've always spoken about your upbringing that it was modest and that it was religious. Does that live in a home like ours?
Very much so. Modest in a way. Firstly, I did not have any reference, obviously, in terms of how other people lived, because in my community, we were all the same. If we didn't have money, all of us didn't have money, or everyone was not educated. Do you get what I mean? But from a religious point of view, it wasn't a choice per se. It was a matter of, yeah, you just need to get yourself like ready to go to
Yeah.
church. It's not even a matter of I'm going to close my house if you don't want to go. It's a matter of you better get your butt ready because we are about to leave. Like you don't have a choice. So I grew up in that setting, but I want to mention how beautiful that it's. I feel like it's gone full circle for me. That for a long time, because religion and spirituality was forced on me for a long time, by my mom because of how we grew up, for a long time, I always thought to myself, the minute I stand on my own, I have my own household, I will do whatever I want.
One.
I'll go to church when I want. I'm gonna dress the way I want. And
How did that work out for you?
I literally now am the mom that says, okay, everyone get ready. We're going to church. And by the way, all of us are going to have more or less the same color outfits. Okay. You don't have a choice.
You can't
Everyone's.
coordinate to church.
We get coordinated. Okay. Because we are about to be very presentable before Jesus.
Oh.
So it's like a full circle moment for me that the thing that for most of my childhood is a thing that I'm running towards now.
Okay.
And it's so
Okay.
it's now voluntary. It's something that I yearn. It's something that I want. So it's just a full circle moment for me.
I can so relate to all of what you are saying. And I mean, for me, it's like an age thing. Like, I can tell you at age 29 where I was, from my journey from being the pianist in the church, it starts there. I played for people. I played piano for people. I always say for people that got married and for people who were dead, because half the people I was playing the keys for, I didn't know them, not when they got married, and definitely not when we laid them to rest. So, I can play E minor and the Holy Spirit, And now we all back there. Like, that's something that we want for our children. The color coordination, yeah, it's definitely not something that happens in my own house. To give you an idea, over the weekend, I took one of the kids out. We went to the horses, like one of my baby's rides, and the one was wearing pajamas and the other one was fully kitted. So, yeah, it looks like I don't even have a say. I want to talk about your dreams and aspirations. Nosy, when I look at you, I see God's grace, and I'm so proud of you. Guys, just to give you an idea, I walked into Nosy's studio. There are people there that adores her. She was on the phone to her husband and I was eavesdropping. It was the nicest eavesdrop conversation I have heard in my life. Everything was white and beautiful. Everyone was kind. It was wholesome. It was just beautiful. And I look at that and I'm thinking, sure. I say to my listeners always, when we have a meal in the morning and when we see the things that surround us, that's grace and mercy. What were your dreams growing up? Did you become what you dreamt, even though you didn't have the reference? I hear what you're saying about how we grew up. Most of us had that. Most of us only had our neighbors and the church,
It's funny for me because at first I didn't think I was afforded the opportunity to even dream, because of the circumstances that were at home. It was a matter of, hey, I actually need to get a job, however a way that job looks like, so that I can take care of home. Whether it is going to a supermarket, whether it is these jobs here and there, anything that's going to give me money to take care of home. But then over time, that also evolved. I just wanted my life to matter. I don't know how. I don't know how God is going. I just needed to know that it mattered
That's right.
and I can make a difference. But it was so interesting because I could not articulate that. And I often share the story of how my mom was a cleaner for 29 years, right? And she served people, right? So it was so difficult for me over time to tell her that I wanted to serve people. I wanted to give back. I wanted to use my life for the greater good because it's the one thing that she has done all of her life. And she was not doing it out of because she loved it. It's just because the circumstances were like that. She needed to provide for her family. So there was always that disconnect in terms of how do I tell her that, I want to use my voice. I want to use my story. I want to use every resource that I have at my disposal to make a difference in my community, to make a difference in the world, to know that I have contributed towards someone's well-being or whatever the case may be. But as fate will have it, see, this is why you need to be very specific. When you say you want to change people's lives, write it down exactly how you want to change people's lives, isn't it? Because what happens is that God hears it, hears our prayers, definitely. But then he has other plans in terms of how you're going to change lives.
Yeah, how it's gonna be done.
Because this was not in my plan at all. I wish I had the perfect story in terms of this is exactly how I envisioned my future. Absolutely not. This is not what I had. But it's still such an honor for me to live the life that I live because I believe it has been given to me by God.
It
It has
has.
been a platform, a blessing, the way that He has given me a message to carry to others. And that's what I'm so appreciative of. So when it comes to dreams growing up, oh no, it was just getting a job, Ilana. Though it was just getting a job to take care of my family. That's all.
But you know what? The plan in our lives and how it's going to pan out, God has already written that story.
Absolutely.
And that's why, even to everyone that's on the live that's wondering, do I have to become famous or have Instagram followers in order to have a voice or to make a difference? The answer is no. You can make a difference in any
That's
situation,
just me clean.
whether you are in any profession, no matter how small or how big. But your story has already been written, which is remarkable.
Absolutely.
Wee-wee. It's like I just want to talk about dreams. Hi, guys, if you've just joined us, Nozi and I, we're having an in-depth conversation. I want to get to the book, but you said something that had me hooked. You talked about your dreams, you talked about your mom, and you talked about how our lives evolved, right? Is a time in your life that you were silent? because sometimes we are silent about things that are personal to us. There's a lot of things in life that I haven't spoken about. Nothing dramatic, but it's a big deal for me, you know? Were you ever silent about your circumstances because of how people would react? What was the reason?
I was silent from 2013 up until 2019 when I first publicly shared my story of living positively with HIV since I was diagnosed in 2013. And I mean, HIV was nothing foreign to me because my mom used to work at a TB hospital. But I was also not, I was also aware of the stigma that it carries, that it still carries to this day. So I just could not bear the heartbreak and the disappointment that my mom, I thought my mom at the time would just, would go through. I just could not. And then also coupled by, you know, our society, our community, where I come from. I come from a very conservative, you know, family. Not only conservative family, but community as well, church-wise. And our moms, you know, take pride in terms of how they're viewed and their status, you know, in the church, in the community. So I thought, and I was like, the pride and joy of my home and also where I grew up. And I often say, you know, in Positively Me, my book, literally, I was the girl where the other parents, when they need to reprimand, they
were
Unozi, you will never see Unozi outside. You will never see Unozi do this, this, and this, and that. So I felt like I just could not, I could not come out. I could not tell my mom. I could not tell my family for about 6 years. Then eventually I felt that the more I was silent, the more I was giving power over the story. And I was giving power to was involved in the story at the time, because only him and I knew what had happened and what was going on. And I felt the more I kept quiet, the more I was giving him power that at any time he can tell my story, however way he wants. And I was not going to be hijacked. I was not going to be held ransom anymore by that, right? And eventually I was like, you know what? Let me take back my power, because I feel like you've taken a lot. That's the one thing that I want to take back, my power, my voice. And I want to reestablish myself, again, restore what I believe, you know, I had lost for so many years. And the plan was never to, honestly, I thought it would be only like 5 or 6 people that kind of know where I come from back home. But that's the beauty also about, you know, the social media or the platforms that we use, the internet, it just, it transcends beyond, you know, borders and seas. And it just kind of, you know, developed from there. And many years later, here we are.
You know, I wasn't going to say this. And first of all, thank you so much for your calm and your bravery. Because, you know, Nozi, there's a lot of people watching and listening to this that, first of all, needs to find their voice, that needs to start dreaming again. And, you know, we can't take for granted the fact that our stories, whether it has taught us something or whether we think it's not a big deal, that it's going to show someone. But you know what? It happens to be 16 days of activism. And I just had a realization. Often, even when I'm on the radio, we talk about, oh, you know, when the neighbor, when you hear the neighbor, when you, but what about us? What about giving yourself the permission to use your voice, to take your power back?
Absolutely.
And I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
Because you know what? You decide for you. And we tell our own stories. I always say, Nozi, and I've taught this to the girls as well. We can't control what people say about us.
No.
We cannot.
For honestly, can't. No, we can't.
No, we cannot. Can't. But you know what you...
But we can... We can control how we receive the information.
Yes.
I mean, I, as I said, I happen to be in the social media space and using different platforms to carry, you know, my messages and so forth. That comes with a lot of responsibility. That comes with a lot of, you know, different perceptions of how you show a glimpse. But then in people's mind, you show like a huge, they think that you're showing a huge part of your life. And that comes with a lot of opinions and so many different things. And what I always say, and this has been my weapon throughout, I don't need to respond to what you think of me I can't. I honestly cannot, because I cannot control it. I cannot influence it. Even if I tried, it will never be enough, right? Because it's honestly your own perception. But what I can do is control how I receive it, because that's not my reality. I know my story. I know who I am. I'm very certain on that. And so, I mean, it's hard. And I want to believe it also comes with a lot of experience. And as you grow, as you mature, you tend to also focus on, you know, less on things you see.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I block. That's why I block a lot, okay? Because I have to.
Reach me. The noise doesn't even reach me. I think the noise is afraid of me. You know what I'm saying?
I can't. No. That's why also it's different things. For example, I'm one person. I'm a homebody. Like, if I am not out of the house to do a talk, to go to work, to earn my bag, to earn my coin, ne, I am at home. Okay. I am at home, and that protects me from a lot. That protects me from a lot.
There's nothing wrong with what you have decided, because you decide for you. I'm home a lot too. And the other day I spoke about it in coaching about how, you know, maybe I should get out more. And then we actually had a discussion about it. Think about it at home, right? Like, we have our children. Those are, they're people. So we share our lives with people. And then there's your partner or your husband or your person. That's another person. So you're not surrounded by nobody, all right? And this house, there also happens to be three dogs and a cat, and I'm sure another animal somewhere. So it's not nobody.
You know, that's the one part I can't get over. I cannot, Ilana. Maybe after I Lumi gets out of potty training, I can consider like something.
You've had this discussion. Do you still not have a dog?
No.
I gave you advice. I even gave you the number of people, like the SPCA, the breeders. Still not. That's why it's so quiet there. I can hear.
Ma'am. I'm literally on the other side of the house. If he had to come here, I'd come.
Or if you just joined us, hi, everyone. We're going to share this podcast or interview or this chat on Jacaranda FM on Baby Brunch. And then also here at Ilana Africa, Nozi decided to, yes, you decide for you. People are quoting us. Adel Mohammed also saying hi. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
I don't want to go too far away from everything, because I do want to get to your book as well. Oh, I'm so proud of you. With your memoir and with your writing, how do you decide? How do you become? Maybe you can teach us something. And maybe there's something in journaling and in writing. You are vulnerable. You share quite a lot, you know. And is this something that you do because you want to change a life? Do you tell it to us because you want us to know?
I think my main aim has always been to challenge the status quo. Let's talk about things that we're not supposed to talk about. Let's talk about how being born out of wedlock has this certain branding over a child and some kind of identity. Where do I belong? Do I take my father's surname or do I don't? Do I not? Do I take his clan name? Do I not? What kind of ownership, do I have over his family, his side of the family? Let's talk about mother wounds, because we're not supposed to talk about it, about mother wounds, because how could you believe your mom, could do certain things or could feel some type of way about you when they carried you for 9 months? Well, it is the case, you know?
Yeah.
So my writing has always been to challenge the status quo. And because I've come to realize that there are a lot of people going through a lot, but they do not have platforms or even the words to articulate, the voice to articulate how they're feeling. So what I often enjoy is being able to be in a position of influence where I will write something, I'll do a video, and someone will be like, oh my goodness, this is what I've been trying to say, or this is what I've been trying to articulate, but I've not just had the words. Yeah. And always that's been my thing, where don't worry, I'll speak on your behalf. I will speak about those experiences because that's one of the things that has damaged a lot of people, because we are not supposed to be speaking about these things. We come from, once again, very closed off families. So that influences a lot of my writing. And I am my strongest at when I'm vulnerable.
Sure. Hold on. I am my strongest when I am vulnerable.
Yes.
Because it's true, Nausee.
Yes.
Because your vulnerability is your truth.
Absolutely.
Nausee, you are so bold. There's also a lady that asked where they can buy the book. Nausee's going to tell us just now.
Yes. I'm most strongest when I tell you I'm not okay today. And this is why I'm not okay. Or this was not supposed to happen. I was not supposed to be working at 12 years old. I was not. That should never be normalized. As a girl child, I was not supposed to be taking care of my family as the girl child and also the last born. It's okay to prioritize yourself. It's okay. It's okay for you to come first. Right? So I thrive in vulnerability. I thrive. And yeah, that's just my greatest power, honestly.
Oh, my word. Why am I crying? I'm not crying. You're crying.
Stop.
Hey, man. Yo. Why did you decide to write the devotional? Do you know? So rumor has it, because I know people on your side, okay?
Okay.
So I'm having a meeting, like, with my insiders, and they say to me, Nausee's brought out a book, but we didn't know about it. I said to them.
I know where it is.
So I said to them, you mean she didn't tell you? No, she wrote a whole book and she didn't tell us one thing. So now I'm also playing along and I'm like, oh, how wonderful. And they're like, no, it's not wonderful.
Okay, let me tell you now. Let me tell you something now, okay? Firstly, as I told you, I never dreamt of, oh, I'm going to be an author. That, honestly, that was not even my radar. But then I came out with my first book, I Am Still Me, right? And at first I was writing because my, psychologist asked me to write to, you know, honestly pour out how I was feeling. And then over time I was like, hang on a sec, this would actually help one or two people. Let me put it in a book. And honestly, one or two people, I thought that would be it. But once again, it blew into something that I never imagined. Sure. Then the second book was a children's book, I Am Still Zuri. Basically explaining what HIV is to children. There was a point where my brother's daughter was living with us and she saw me taking my ARVs one night and she asked me whether I was sick. And I was like, I don't look sick. So how do I explain to a child what HIV is? Especially in a community where HIV is used to instill fear.
Right.
And I wanted to destigmatize that. So I wrote I Am Still Zuri. Then I got approached by a publisher to write Positively Me. As the story evolves, where are you now? So Positively Me was published last year. I mean, anyone in the book circle will tell you, you kind of wait like probably 2-3 years to write another book. Do you get what I mean?
Bring out the next. Yeah.
Exactly.
Music artists.
No one, anyway. So, and then earlier this year, I was on my way to an event and my husband was working on my last nerve, as he always does, bless his heart. And I did a video. I was like, you know, your spouse will make you grow closer to God, honestly, because they do a lot of things that really make you like, Lord, you are the one that can deal with him, not me. Right.
I'm praying to God.
So I shared that video and before I knew it, that video blew up and I was like, okay. Then I made another video. And before I knew it, let me tell you, something had been a thing where, oh no, please tell us something.
Something. Right.
But here's the thing where I'm going. I didn't realize that in the midst of that, God was telling me something. Right. I almost missed it because I was caught in the hype of how well these videos were doing that I didn't realize that God was actually, I'm telling you something. Yeah. And then I started making more videos and I'm like, wait a minute. Let me just write. because that's what I do. I write. That's where I become more alive. I just write and I just write. And one of the things when I was telling my friend, hey, I think God is asking me to write a devotional book, but I don't think I'm the right person to write a devotional book. I don't know all the scriptures in the Bible.
You're not supposed to.
But in my mind, obviously, I'm going to overthink all of the, I don't know all the scriptures. Do I have all the verses right? And what am I going to say? And there's one thing that I'll never forget that Tandy said to me. She said, no, here's the thing. The power in you and why people relate to you so much is because you're not writing from a position of being perfect. That's not what people are searching for.
Yeah.
So as you are becoming in Christ, people are also becoming.
Becoming, in, yes.
And I was like, okay. So that's what Let Me Tell You Something is let me honestly tell you
a story something.
Yeah. Of how God continues to change my life and speaks to me in the most ordinary ways. Because mostly we think it's like a loud voice or it's like someone coming to tell you something extraordinary. But no. It's the everyday life. It's the everyday ordinary activities, beautiful. Everyday acts. So that's what Let Me Tell You Something is about.
I love how it evolves because sometimes God is telling you something, right?
Mm.
But there's a few conversations that leads up to that moment so that you can be sure. And again, it's your story. There's no one, in Afrikaans, we say false prophet. You know, it's the fake prophet that arrives and that tells you, ha, and your husband came to marry me. And you're like, no, but I didn't get any sign just yet, you know? So I kind of believe in like being quiet and taking my time with us because God allows me to do that. I'm so happy that it came to you.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm still working on this. So I'm just, I'm still going to say it. I'm one person that I sometimes have to convince myself about me. And I constantly pray to God about it because every time you'll be like, honestly, I feel a strong sense that God is leading me to this direction. I'm like, not me. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Ask someone else. Like, what am I going to say? What, honestly, when I arrive there, what am I going to say to people? Feel free in that position. Do not put me in that position. And you want to, and you know what he will do? He will direct me to a scripture. And I say this all the time. When he called Moses and so many different people in the Bible, where he said, I will be with you. I will tell you what to say. I will empower you. The people that, honestly, whether it's Moses, whether it's David, or whatever the case may be, people that felt inadequate or people that felt they were not up for the assignment. And that's who God picked. And that's who God chose. So I'm like, okay. Let's do it.
You know he won't send you there on your own. Your own self.
Never. And he just brings people around me that will just make the journey, you know, less complicated and less heavy. And I'm so grateful for that. I can't wait for people to read Let Me Tell You Something.
I've got 100 more questions, but let me tell you something. We're going to take some questions. Where can we find this book? Someone says, I'm in, and they also quoted your website. So find Nozi's books at?
Yes, find Nozi's books at, we recently launched our website, www.iamnozibele.com. www.iamnozibele.com. So that's where you can literally purchase all my books from I Am Still Me, I Am Still Zuri. Some of them, especially I Am Still Zuri and Positively Me, they are directly from the publishers, right? But there is a link on my website where you can see that. Then Positively Me is currently on pre-order. It is coming out. By the way, I haven't shared this with anyone. I'm literally receiving my books on Thursday. I'm receiving my books on Thursday. I'm seeing it for the first time on Thursday in a book form. And we'll be starting to dispatch on Friday. I mean, we've received, I think about, we started pre-ordering last week because I remember it was on my birthday. And we're already at 250 copies in pre-order. So honestly, guys, I'm so grateful. So please, we're having a launch also. Now I'm taking over. I'm sorry, man. We're having a launch.
When is the launch? Is it going to be online as well?
Yes, we are busy organizing all of that. We'll share. It is on the 11th of December, which is next week,
Okay.
Thursday.
Yes.
It is at Cedar Woods of Sandton. We're starting at 6 p.m. There's also a book signing on Saturday, but I'll share all that information on my page. But the book
So,
launch is definitely on the 11th of December.
okay, so where can we? So we need to go to the website for the books. Then there's the book launch next week, Thursday. Congratulations on holding your books this coming Thursday. I'm exceptionally proud of you because you'll be holding the hard copy. Are you going to sign all of them?
Yes, I have
Praise
to.
the Lord. I'm so
I
happy.
have to.
I'm very excited. Let me tell you something. Okay, there's a few people that's asking if they are still afraid to tell, if they're living in silence. I want a message from you, please, to give to our beautiful audience so that they can feel motivated and excited and feel like they are not alone, please.
So this morning I was listening to a podcast with T.D. Jakes and Oprah, right? And Oprah says very short story of how when her show changed, or like when it started to turn into what she had always wanted to be. So she said at first we were inviting everyone. There was a guy that came in with the wife and the side girlie, and they basically told the wife that the side girlie is pregnant right there on stage. And she was also blindsided. And she says, that's when I decided this is not what I want my
Right.
show to be about. So she says the formula, the success of the show was around intention. Intention. Everything that she did, she always asked herself why. Every guest that she brought, she asked herself why. So for anyone that is currently silent and want to find their voice, to share their story, to share their story, to change other people's, always ask the intention, the why. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for others? Are you doing it for selfish reasons? Because also that one lost. That one lost. You have to ask yourself about the intention. And I always say this journey is all about, you have to do it for you. When I came out, it was about Unozi. And it was at the point, Ilana, where I had already done the work. I'd gotten to a point where I was okay. So when I came out, it was not a matter of I was seeking people's validation.
No.
It was not a matter where I was going after people's approvals. I was okay, even if there were one or two people. And that's why even to date, anyone that makes a joke around HIV or uses my status or uses my story against me, I'm like, first of all, I'm the one who told you about my story. You
Yeah.
can't use the same story I told you
My
against
story.
me. No, you can't. You cannot, right? So it's very important, the intention. Why do you want to tell your story? The intention is very important. And do it for you. Do it for you. Despite what everyone may feel or despite how everyone may react, what will it do for you?
I'm appreciative of every pause in your life where you took your time before you just responded. I'm grateful that you mentioned self-work because it's the biggest gift that you can give yourself to take your time and to go, do I seek God about this decision? Do I pray? Do I first deal with it before I tell the world? You know, instead of just spitting it out on social media or to people. I think, and I think you can agree with this, the humans, people, because we are just human, we will disappoint other humans. And so if there's something that we need approval on, getting it from humans is definitely not where we want it. So I'm so grateful that you have written many books of inspiration, but I am particularly grateful for what you've created recently.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that sometimes we have to go through a curse for it to become our blessing, because my wish for every woman and you is that we learn, but not through pain and suffering, please God, but that we just learn. But then if we don't go through, I'm thinking of my friend Petula, if we don't go through the steps of the miracle, we won't be able to speak about the miracle. So I'm so grateful for where you are in your
Thank
life
you.
and that you give your time freely to teach and to educate. And even Monday when it was World AIDS Day and in this time of 16 days of activism, and when it is about your book, and when it's just about me and you, I'm very grateful that you've given your time for us so that we can tap into you even more
I
and ask
appreciate
for
you.
more. No, you've got
I
no
appreciate
idea.
you so much.
You can ask me for anything.
I appreciate you so much. And once again, honestly, the words of life that continue to pour, in my own life. I'll never forget what you did for me when we met in that recording. I will never forget it. I will never, ever. And when I'm ready to testify, when God says we should testify, I will have you in mind, because honestly, there was just an unlocking that needed to happen. And God used you right at that moment to do that. So please. Oh, yeah. I spoke to Nozi. Please don't underestimate what you did for me that day. And I really appreciate you, honestly.
I love you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All the best with Thursday. When you hold your book, tell us.
Oh, God, I'm probably going to bawl my eyes out.
I think all of us will. Nozi, I love you very much.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks for your time. I'm going to feed my kids dinner now. They're all standing here like a choir, you know?
Listen, I'm gonna try potty training for the last time tonight. Okay. So
relax.
Gosh.
Take your hand off the handle. He'll potty train when he needs to.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
Relax,
Mom.
2.5. He's like
write your books.
Okay.
Pray.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Take your makeup off.
I'm not
wearing foundation, so I'm glad.
Now listen, I had a recording today and I was like, I am not about to waste this good makeup.
Okay? No. You keep
it. I need to look good for you.
Well, you do. You look, can you not see my natural Gloria?
I love it.
Looking? No,
you I love it. Honestly, I love it.
You should keep it on and go to bed like this and then tomorrow wake up and just like present yourself.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just put a slurkos on your head.
Yeah.
And sleep. And then you wake up like that.
Okay, good.
Not that I've done it before, but.
Jeez, Lana. Listen.
I love you. We need to say goodbye in a formal manner.
Yes.
It's people that. Hi, dear Tanda. Hi, guys. Nozi, thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful seeing you and all the best. A big thanks to everyone that has helped us line up this interview. You can also follow Nozi because the book launch is coming. We all need to purchase the book. And remember, in South Africa, how we support women is we support them by not asking for it for free. So
yes.
Log on and purchase the
book. I already told you my baby needs nappies.
In the famous words of Nozi, Ndiyathanda imali.
Ndiyathanda imali.
Yes. Babybrunch.co.za. Thank you so much, Jacaranda. And Nozi, thank you so much to you.